We're on Romans 2 in your outline, and we're dealing with the asking of the Father in Christ's character. This is a value. I turned my, nobody here has been on evening school notes. I just finished 12 weeks of communication with God on our evening school. And I turned my notes around, did I tell last, which was for a reason. I wanted to build to it, and it's working pretty good that way too. But as we come to 1 John 5, 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we should happen to ask anything according to his will, and this according to his kata, down from or according to his desirous will, the word is thelema. He hears us. If we should happen to hit the target, as it were, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, as lessers to greaters, we know that we have the things asked that we asked of him. Now, if your Bibles are open, make sure you clear that out, because you've got the same root in here, 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 and here. And they're translated asked twice, petitions once, and desired once. And so they're all the same root. They're the same concept. They're that lesser to greater. They're that specific thing. They involve your own part, on your own part, in that matter. And so that becomes... these things can get confusing. Now, I need to say one quick thing, and that is, you'll notice I'm using the King James. And I do have preference for it because I've been bred on it in some ways. Like I said, I prefer Greek. But anyway, in the New Testament. But I'll tell you one thing. Most translations are not as good as this even. So that's an issue. We're frozen. Isn't that make it sound like a title for a movie of some kind?
Just let it go, Dave.
I keep pushing a button. I'm still frozen. Thanks, John.
Yeah, I know. That's a song that every kid in America knows out of that movie, Let It Go. Frozen.
Yeah. I know. I thought, I don't think my grandson needs to go to Frozen. Where am I here? We're getting there. Oh, okay. Next, it was supplication. Okay, this cry for help thing. Anyway, here we're dealing with a believer. I have a terrible time with graphics. And my terrible time is I have more trouble getting a human figure. This guy looks like he's been over in some famine zone. Little skinny guy. But right. Otherwise, my figures are not exactly well clothed, so I don't like to use them without doing other things with it. But anyway, the believer communicates to God, and God the Father. And if God the Father hears, he hears and responds. That's akouo. That's what that word is. Acoustics. You hear it. Akouo. And that means to hear and respond. The Father doesn't hear just because a believer communicates with him. You have to be in the right relationship. If you're not, your head isn't in the right hand and you're not spirit-filled, you're not going to be heard. He's not going to respond. And so that's the reason for that subjunctive that we had a moment ago. Now we're coming to supplication. I've got 5 points under that, and let's just go ahead and deal with them. Supplication facing God. Romans 10:1 says, "Brethren, this is Darby, I'm going to quote the AV. The delight of my own heart and my supplication which I address to God for them is for salvation." And this preposition here is facing toward God. That's why this is this way. I use Darby because sometimes he'll get that. And if you ran across a cheap Darby, it's not a bad translation in a lot of ways. He's an old Plymouth Brethren. 2 Corinthians 9:14, another Darby. And in their supplication for you, full of ardent desire for you on account of the exceeding grace of God. And it's because of what? The exceeding grace of God. And there's supplication. Making supplication with the Father, I thank my God for my whole remembrance of you, constantly in my every supplication, making supplication for you with all joy. It's funny, some of these almost have memorized in the King James, and it's hard to read them. Let your supplication be made known to God. Be careful. Again, we've been at this passage in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and a crying for help, thanksgivings, it is a plural, by the way, let your requests be made known unto the God. And I wanted to emphasize the God because articular theos is identifying the Father in most contexts. I think I mentioned that yesterday in that matter. Whoops. Supplication. That's called panic button. Help. That's what it's about. And in supplication, when you supplicate and you cry out for help, you're willing to accept whatever God sends in that, and you're willing to say, okay, I'm willing to do that. Sometimes we supplicate in some interesting ways. We're forced sometimes into a situation where we say help, and it might mean that God might take somebody home. I've had that happen. I'd say, help, in the relationship to this person. You see the saint going crazy in their carnality, and you say, help, I'm preaching the word, and it's not penetrating. And they're resisting any effort on the part of the Holy Spirit, and so I'll just say, help. And I don't do that unless I'm willing to let them go. You know, and sometimes we have to do that. Boy, that button's in the wrong place. That's why I have to look. There's a good help one. You know, that's supplication. This guy's falling off the mountain, can't get the rope. Help. Directed to the Father, working together by supplication that thanks may be given. Another Darby citation is, and I'll just do the top one. You also laboring together by supplication for us that the gift towards us through means of many persons may be sent, with the thanksgiving of many for us. But you see, supplication. And again, you have all these passages in your notes. Why do I have 1:9 down in the bottom here? Because it's the God. That's the Father. So when you cry out for help, you're saying, Abba, help. You see. Thanksgiving, this is where I was supposed to start this hour, is directed to the Father. Ephesians 5:20, one of those key passages you better know. I love to preach this message on Thanksgiving. I could do it every Thanksgiving, but I don't dare. And that is, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Always. Always. Pantata is at all times, okay? At all times, for all things. And here you have, you see the Pantone, that happens to be a neuter or masculine plural, for all things. I put the Greek there just so you could see it. I wanted to make the Greek students work a little. Then another example of communicating to the God is we give thanks to the God always, that is, at all times, for you all. And you all doesn't mean that Paul came from southern Tarsus, or that Tarsus was a southern city. The you all, of course, is just the way they, but it actually says you, all of you, literally. Let me find it down here so I can show you. All to God. No, it doesn't have, well, there you are. Pantone. Humon. All, and that's you, by the way, in case you wonder on it. Making mention of you in our prayers of worship. We're not in it for that. We're talking about communication with the Father. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for you all. Oops, we just did that. I want the next one. Push the button, it didn't work. Colossians 1:3. Okay. I'll skip that one. 1:12, giving thanks unto God the Father. There, the red didn't come out well because of the black background. Okay. You have these passages and the time is sliding. But thanksgiving is addressed to the Father. Thank you, Father. You heard me say that several times yesterday. That's kind of like a broken record for me. I tend to say that often. And I don't need anybody to say it before outside of the right hand. You know, I mean, there are many times I'll say thank you, Father, verbally. Many times I'll do it in my head when I'm talking to God. That opportunity is there. Thanksgiving is directed to the Father. I want this one because it's important. And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a name in the character of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Oh, the red is bad. That's a dia. A preposition dia, that little whatever at the end of that red dot, doesn't have an aleph on it. Alpha. Don't teach Hebrew as many years as I have. You mix some alphabets. And so you have, it's through the agency of him and thanksgiving. All three persons of the Godhead are involved in our communication, but the Father is the ultimate end of that communication. It's not that they don't hear. It's not that they're not responsive. It's that the Father is the ultimate goal or object of our communication. Praise. Praises to God the Father. The early church directed phrase says, praising God. What did I do? I went ahead and just stuck the Greek in because you have a definite article there. The God. Praising the God. And so you have that focus on the Father. On it, and when we start doing that, when you get if you don't have an interlinear, or when you're able to get one, it is really, really handy. Pushing the wrong buttons. Really handy to be able to see some of these little details, and this man in the front row will point them out to you, because that's the way we taught him. No, he's diligent. That's a reason. Praise is directed to the Father. Here's our definition. Now, we talked about this before. And so I want to, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, the God, the God. That's the Father. Continually, that is the fruit of our lips. I can't read it. Confessing his name. Let's just put the right word in there. And that. Now, the fruit of our lips, does that mean that all praise is to be verbalized? All praise can be verbalized. When you praise the Lord, I find that I might praise him as much without verbalizing it as I do verbalizing it. And do I have it in this Bible? I always keep a list of the attributes because I'm getting old. And that way I can double-check, though I'm reminded there are only 7 attributes, but I'm doing well to remember a 7-number phone number. And now in Oregon, they're doing 10 numbers, and so I'm in bad shape on it. But you see, and I want to point, you have the God here. I've got it down here in my translation. And this thing, a fruit of your lips, it should be something you can verbalize. In other words, it's an intelligent statement. It's not just saying, praise the Lord. Do you know you're not praising the Lord when you say praise the Lord? Why? Because praise the Lord, praise is an imperative. You praise the Lord. When you say that, you're saying you or you guys praise the Lord. That's hallelujah. You guys praise. That's your Hebrew. Hallelujah is praise Jehovah. The Yah in the end is short form, or Yahweh, however you want to pronounce it. And so my translation here is, through him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, confessing his name, that is character. Saying the same thing he does. And I believe the Holy Spirit impresses upon us when we receive a benefit, something of the character of God. And some, I mean, it's not always the same for the same kind of thing. I mean, if you like T-bones, you might be able to praise for more than, I mean, there might be a different attribute from time to time as the Holy Spirit pops you with an understanding, saying, wow, I saw that manifestation of the character out in that provision, that benefit. And, you know, there's no set formula. And I used an somewhat absurd illustration earlier, but I didn't see anybody catch it, so I didn't have to push a button and wake up. Praise to the praise and the glory of God through fruit provided by Jesus Christ. This is present tense, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Okay? You can tell this is reformatting on me. Which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now that happens to be an anarthrous form. In other words, down here, you have theu, but there's no article in that little spot down there. And but what I want to emphasize here, through the, three dia, through the Jesus Christ, and this is the praise of the Godhead. I believe it's deity. All three persons. If you haven't heard it before, get this in your mind. Where one person of the Godhead acts, the other two persons are there. They may be acting, they may, but they're always present. You cannot divorce, I mean, God, I mean, all three persons, but one will be doing it. We're filled by the Spirit, for example. But you have the indwelling of the Son, that filling manifests the life of Christ. You have a manifestation of the divine nature, or quality of the divine nature, which is a manifestation of the nature of the Father. So when you remember that, that is going to teach you a lot about grace. When you know all three persons are involved. You know, one of them didn't just get a ticket and it was his draw to go and work in your life. All three of them are always there. And that becomes extremely important as we relate. Worship is directed to God the Father. Worship is seen as a noun. And as a noun, I've got the example of Romans 15:30. At least they didn't change that font. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sakes, or because of him. This is a, let's see, where are we at? Dia. I was going to say, I saw this dia, didn't see that one when I was looking. But that's through the agency of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for the love of the Spirit, person two, that you strive together with me in your worship communications to the God, facing the God. There's a pros, means facing the God. That's, I mean, you start thinking about that. You know, from the right hand, we're facing the God. It's in that direction. You can't get any closer. If we were describing this in human terms, it would be like riding in the plane I rode from Denver to Orlando in, and the guy next to me was bigger than I was, and that little rail in between was not wide enough for the two of us, and I'm sitting here like this, and he's sitting here like this, because we're, but, you know, that's how near we are. We could rub elbows easy. So we're in a narrow seat when it comes to our relationship with God. Worship is given to God the Father. We give thanks to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praying, worshiping always for you all. And there you have the God. I said the Father. It's not there. The God the Father. Worship is directed, made to God. And again, I've got some examples. You've got Paul and Silas worshiping. They weren't supplicating. In this matter, they weren't asking anything or interceding. They weren't It says they were worshiping. This word prayer is prosukamai. Whoops, wrong button. And so they're saying praises unto the God. So it's the Father. And by the by, that's all off of that chart you got that I handed out, because that's my backdrop for this work. Okay. Confession is directed to the Father. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous or just to forgive us our sins and to keep on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. I always translate it that way in that matter. And how do we know it's the He is the Father? 1 John 1:5, 4 verses back, says, "This is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that the God is light." And that establishes the context, and that's the Father. So you confess to the Father. You realize that during Christ's earthly ministry, God made the arrangements so that He could have sins confessed to Him and He could forgive sins. Now He doesn't need to do that. The Father takes care of all of that. And it's just an interesting shift in the way God deals with mankind. Under law, it was one thing. Under grace, it's different. And so confession is directed to the Father. Okay, now we have an interesting problem. I have a couple places where there are people who are going to say and this is the prominent one because of the way it's translated. You'll notice here, it says, "I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who hath enabled us, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." I thank. Now, it sounds like you can address thanksgiving to the Son. And that creates a problem. But before I come here, turn over to John 14:14. This is not in the notes. It was part of my plan as I came in here, but I didn't think I would take the time to do this quite in my order. John 14:14. Now I'm going to read it to you in the AV, and you will see. Let's see. John is back there before Acts, I think. Anyway, there we go. John 14:14 says, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, that doesn't seem to counter what I've said about this being addressed just to the Father. If I had it up here on the board, or on the on a slide, you would see that if I put a Greek text out of the critical text, it would have a three-letter word with it. It's mu. Okay, I'll just say mu. I'll start doing Hebrew alphabet again. And so what it actually says, I mean, it says in the critical text, "If you ask anything in the name of me," or "my name, this I will do." And so "you ask me" is a textual problem. And it's rather interesting. It's not in your King James. It's not in a number of other translations because there is a textual issue. And it's interesting, the fact that it is omitted in so many places and that they put it in here. They have their two big guns, but one of the big guns has it left out. And so when you look at that instance, I do not believe "to ask me" belongs there. Literally be "of me," because it's a genitive. And some of you I see have interlinear open. You see that "mu" in there on it? And there is a definite textual problem, and it won't do me much good to read these things to you, but A has it omitted, D has it omitted. We're talking manuscripts, Alexandrian, Western. K omits it, which is a prominent 9th century manuscript that relates to what we call a Byzantine text type. L is a little later date, Q, P, C, 1241. I won't read these, you don't care. Then you have in the apparatus, and I don't see any apparatus open. It has a PM in it, which means that there were some Byzantine manuscripts that had it included, but most didn't. And so I don't believe it should be there. It doesn't fit in with the context, and I don't know that it makes it any more complicated or not. But I needed to mention that because that's the one other passage from this one. Now, what is the word for thank that's up here? The word for thank, and again, if I didn't do the dark background, it would be a lot better. It's karin. Karis. Karin. Charismatic. You hear charis? That's the word grace. It's grace. Now, it's true that the word thank is eucharistia. You can hear the charis in the middle. But this is grace. And it's rather interesting when we talk about grace. Oops. Charis is found 131 times in the New Testament. It's usually translated grace. And 10 times isn't accurate. It's a dozen or 13 times. 8 times it's used of God, and it's only in this place that it's tied to Jesus Christ. Normally when charis is used in relationship of God with a genitive case and relationship, you'll find that a lot of translations will translate it thanks. Why? Because God doesn't require unmerited favor. And because the common idea is that unmerited favor is necessary when there is sin or unrighteousness. Now, they didn't learn much when they did the backdrop on it, because in the Hebrew text, you have hanan, which is or chen, which are words for favor. We will not translate them unmerited favor. I won't. Most of the time, they are translated favor in a lot of translations. And to say favor, you know, why would there be favor to a person of the Godhead who is sinless? Good reason. He's God. Favor between persons, a favor, a tip of the hat. No, that is not really dating me. I'm not that old. No, I guess I am. My father used to wear a hat, and he would walk. He just always tip it, and he probably was one of those antiques that after the time on it. So the idea of translating a thanks, they wanted to take it out of Eucharistia and make it mean that. I don't believe it means that ever. There's some interesting problems with it. Thanks is a translation in relationship to the persons of the Godhead, especially the Father. Is Christ the object of grace, favor, or thanks? This is the only place to see anything about thanks. It's favor between persons. I think it helps us understand our doctrine of the Trinity and how they relate to each other and how that functions to us. So I have a prejudice, admittedly, and I was going to read those passages, but this thing on my arm says it. Tells me I probably better not. It's interesting when you look it up. Okay, how do you want to, if you want to research this, here's a way to do it. Look in Englishman's Greek Concordance, under charis, and in the columns it'll give you the AV translations. If you looked in mine, I have every translation of thanks in there, and you have, like I say, you have 8 of them that are used of persons related to persons of Godhead in some way, and only one of Christ and the other to all the rest of the Father. And I think it's there are explanations, and it's not because of my prejudice. I'll tell you, in the 45 years I've taught in this subject and worked it, I've swung back and forth, and I'm going to revise my evening school notes because I believe all of it goes to the Father. I don't believe we'd ever address the Son. It's always through the Son. It's always from the right hand. And if it's from the right hand, it seems like it stops dead when we get to the Son if it doesn't go to the Father. To me, and that's the problem that I see with it. Boy, my fingers are fat. Okay. How does this sound? Okay, God the Father is a normal recipient of the Christian's communication. It's the object of the verb, of these verbs we've looked at. I didn't put the grammar on these charts because I did it, but I didn't put it on charts. I mean, I do that when I work. And so I could have given you a list of all of these. The object of a preposition, I've just given you examples. Now, object of a preposition, you'll have a preposition related, in that case, to the Father. The use of a dative case. You have a lot of to theo in the text, which are, it's a form, I'm sorry, for those who don't know what I'm talking about with that. But it's a specific, what we call a lid case, the dative locative instrumental. So these demonstrate the Father is the normal recipient of the believer's communication. The buck stops at the Father. That's where it ends. And that's what makes the difference. The Son is the intermediate agency of communication with the Father. In other words, it goes through the Son. He's the agent that gets it there. So when the Father looks to his right and he hears our communication, he sees it as coming from the Son as the agent by which it's communicated to the Father. And that's an emphasis now in the realm of Christ's human nature. And so he's standing for us as our high priest and is functioning as an intercessor in another area. And so he's our high priest. This thing of communicating in Jesus' name, it's in his character. I know sometimes some of our guys have had some flack because they don't use the magic formula to make prayer valid. And I smile at that. At Bartimaeus, we had a former blind pastor who runs in a blind camp in Texas come in. And what was he, Bible Baptist, I think, I can't remember. But anyway, Grant, the director of the camp, doesn't say in Jesus' name, amen. And this guy was totally offended. Grant didn't use the magic formula to make sure God heard him. And, I mean, the guy was bananas. He will not come back to camp, I'm sure, though he recommends camp. It was just really funny. He just could not grasp that he would not do that. And at Valley, it seems like about half the time, our God, I mean, when we end a communication with the Father, we don't do that. I do it so they know that I'm through. It's time to wake up. That was blasphemous, I'm sorry, in that matter. And so it's in his character. You don't have to say it. You don't have to say it. You know, it's interesting when you read Paul and the prayers that are recorded in Paul's epistles. I mean, you know how often he says amen? If you went by the amens, you'd say you only prayed twice, and I think there are about 20 of them. Because he only says amen once. And he was a good Hebrew speaker. You know what amen means? Amen. It means that's true. I believe when you say that. And I think some people, when they say amen, they better be careful, because I'm not sure they believe what they prayed. You know, you'd never do that, so I don't need to say that here. Anyway, but Jesus Christ is the intermediate agent, and he comes to the Father from the right hand. And it is so nice to know that when I say something or you say something and you're a spirit-filled believer, and the Father looks and he sees it's coming from Christ. The best substitute you could ever have. He looks, sees it's coming from him, and we look at it, and we know we're not changing God at all, but we'll be able to participate. And I need to maybe say that. Our communication isn't going to mess with God, but it gives you an opportunity. God, by his grace, lets you participate in his program. When he wants you to communicate for someone, you're given the privilege of sharing in his plan that he's already made. And you identify with what God is going to do. In whatever way, it's so interesting with the way people relate. And so the Father sees it from his right hand. And what we are doing, we communicate. It says, if you ask anything of my will in 5 of 1 John, if you ask anything of my, according to my will or down from my will, we are in conformity to what he desires. It only works as you're a spiritual believer. And the bottom line, the grand finale is what? The Godhead receives the glory. That means the Holy Spirit, who's done a work in your life to communicate when you want to communicate, he's moved you to communicate in certain areas, he gets glory. The agent by which the Father receives that communication gets the glory. And the Father gets the glory. And because of that, God gets the glory, and you participate in his glory. That is, you're right. It's grace. It's just grace. That's why we call it grace communication. You know, it's not out there to change everything in the world because we communicate. It doesn't make you spiritual. You have to be spiritual before you can be heard, before the Father will respond. And I know. You do have this issue called confession. That's going to be something that's necessary to get you where you need to get. But most of the communication, you are a spiritual believer. And if you have true confession, he's going to move you in that direction, get your head where it belongs, at the right hand. So that's been a few interesting thoughts. I feel like I've given you kind of a potpourri in my my 3 days. Things to think about. That should be edifying and build you up and should give you some stringers in which to hustle some things. You can look at them and study them, and as you're able, maybe it'll help you when you cross some of these verses in communication and related to the Father. But you know, it's nice to say Abba. It's nice to just say my Father. I could say Abba is Aramaic. And the A on the end is a definite article. And you're saying, the Father. And the emphasis of that is, my Father. The Father. You wouldn't address the neighbor as the my Father or the Father, but you'll address your Father that way, if depending on your circumstance, of course. Because that's in term of closeness, endearment, a special opportunity. And I like that verse in 1 Peter 5. It matters to him about you. And that's evident in our communication. It's been good to be here again. I've enjoyed again the opportunity to share and renew my acquaintances and gain new and be able to share some new faces in my book for sharing at the right hand. You know, I mean, that's what happens. And I hope that's happened. I hope a whole lot of you take me to the right hand. I need to be there in that sense because God has to sustain me in what I do. And I'll be glad to meet you there. I'll be glad to meet you there. And if I knew and know and I hear of things that happen in your life, I will be glad to intercede for you. If I hear some things that need some supplication, I'll even cry out for help for you. But you can do it. But you better do it if you know I'm going to do it, because I want to meet you there. And we can share there. Thank you, Father, so much for the opportunity for these, your children. As you work in their lives with a diversity of opportunity to live out the life of Christ so people can see a manifestation of our Lord Jesus as eternal life is lived out by us. And you give us these privileges to say Abba. And we can say it over and over and reasonably say it. You are our Father, and you care, and you relate to us, and you've given us what we need to talk to you. And may we be talking to you all the time during our waking hours. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.